It's pretty. Pastor Tom really brought the word to us last week about being a serious sower and about investing the word of God into the souls of men. And all too often we don't do that. We invest all kinds of other things into each other and forsake the book. We forsake the life-giving message that we find in this book right here. And we talk about everything under the sun except for the Word of God. And to be a serious sower, we have to be serious about what we're sowing and really focus on what truly matters. We have to be intentional to invest God's word, and even when it's hard, right? Because it is hard, because it makes us uncomfortable. If somebody asks us to share a devotion, we start sweating, right? We start getting that feeling in the pit of our stomach like, oh my goodness, I don't think I can do this. And that's exactly where God wants us to be when we say, God, I can't do this. And he's like, hallelujah, because I don't want you to do this. I want to do this. And it's going to be painful, and I'm going to stretch you, and I'm going to mold you, and I'm going to conform you into the image of my son. And you're going to be obedient, and you're going to be used by me. That's where God wants us to be. He wants us to be serious about that. But he knows best. And oftentimes, here's the thing. Being a sower, right, is like being a farmer. Right now, there's farmers that are getting soybeans. Most of the corn's in. Some soybeans are going in still. It's getting a little bit late. But a lot of times when it comes to that process, all we look forward to is the harvest. All we look forward to is the result that comes from all of the work and effort that goes into it. We just look to see what kind of results am I going to get when I plant these soybeans, and maybe it's not going to rain all summer long. What kind of harvest am I going to have come November? What kind of fruit is going to be grown? What kind of how much is going to be in the hopper when I'm done? Right? Tom was talking about the hopper last week. But we forget about all of the work that goes into it before you can harvest. The Lord is all about the harvest. He's just entrusted us. He's instructed us to be a sower, right? We need to get the seed in the ground. We need to break up the ground. We need to go and build relationships with people so that we can plant the seeds of the gospel into their lives. We need to break that hard ground up. All of us at one time in our lives were like that hard, rock-hard soil. And it began to be broken up. And then seeds began to be planted. And then seeds began to be watered. And then we sprouted up and we began to grow. And before you knew it, man, we were able to reproduce fruit. Because that's what happens. As we grow, fruit is reproduced from that. And then the Lord is all about the harvest. Sometimes we need to look at what's right in front of us. We don't like to till and plant and seed and water and pull weeds. Nobody likes to pull weeds, right? I love to have a garden, but the worst part about a garden is all the stinking weeds that grow in the garden. I don't like to do that part. I would go out there if I could and just use Roundup between the plants, but then that doesn't do the plants much good either. So we need to be intentional about the work. So today, open your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 3. We're going to continue in our study in 1 Timothy chapter 3. We're gonna cover two verses today out of our chapter, and we're gonna continue looking at having godly character in an ungodly world. Remember that. This part of the series is called Having Godly Character in an Ungodly World, because we know the world we live in, man, it's all about itself. It's all about self-promotion. It's all about dragging people into the pit. So we, as Christians, can have godly character. And we're taking this passage out of 1 Timothy chapter 3 that Paul is laying out for Timothy for those men that desire the office of a bishop. And we know that that is the context of this, but we also know that we can apply this, the Word of God, to our lives. So there's no reason, no one in this room can escape the desire to have godly character. Now, we know all these don't apply to women, and all the, you know, it's not intermingled, but we can apply these to our life because we should desire to be like Christ. We should desire to have godly character qualities in our life so that others can see it, but most of all so that we can glorify God with our lives. So remember that. So having godly character in an ungodly world is where we're at, and in We've looked at several character qualities up to this point. We're not going to review them. If you've missed them, you can go to our website and listen to it, or watch the recording on Facebook, or whatever you need to do to get up to speed. But today, we're going to look at one quality. One quality is all we're going to cover today, but it's a super important quality. Because it's so important. The question is, how can we change the ungodly world? We should ask ourselves that. How can I change being a Christian? I'm a Christian. I'm born again. I have a relationship with Jesus. How can I change this ungodly world that we live in? How can I impact it in a way that people can see Christ and desire a relationship with Him? How do we allow others to know that we have godly character? Do we wear Christian t-shirts that say, I love Jesus, or whatever it is? I love Christian t-shirts. But that's an outward appearance, right? That's just something on the outside. And we know that the world looks at the outside. They look at what kind of tennis shoes we wear, and what kind of shirts, and how we comb our hair, and all of the, how we smell, and all of that. But you know what? God looks through all of that. He looks straight to the heart. He doesn't care what kind of t-shirt we wear. He doesn't kind of care what kind of clothing or how we comb our hair or how often we take a bath. He cares about the heart. He cares about what's inside. And if we as Christians ought to desire the same thing, we ought to be able to look past each other's flaws, and we ought to be able to look straight into the heart. And we should be able to see through the way that they're living and the way that their life is displayed, we could see the heart. Because the heart will be revealed. We know that. Christian t-shirts don't make us godly. What's on the inside does. So here's the thing. Our world that we live in today is changing every day. The world is completely it's in complete fear of this virus that we're dealing with. It's in complete fear of the protest and the destruction that's going on right now. They're in complete fear of what's going to happen tomorrow. They're in complete fear of not knowing. What if the world turned to Jesus and quit turning to fear and quit turning to anger and quit turning to all of these things that they're turning to? What if the world surrendered to Jesus and asked for forgiveness and placed their faith in Jesus? How would the world change today? We would have rallies, but it wouldn't consist of burning down Targets and stealing stuff from AutoZone. It would consist of, man, let's preach the gospel to the masses. Let's go out and have rallies to tell people about Jesus. How would things look if this took place? People would think that the world had gone crazy. Just like we think the world's gone crazy now. It's up to us, church. It's up to us to get out and get busy and not only living like we ought to live, but speaking the life-giving message that we ought to be speaking as well. We're challenged to do this today. We're challenged to go tell someone about Jesus and how He desires to take up residence in them, and how He desires to have a personal relationship with every single soul on this earth. We're challenged to do that, but yet we get bound up in fear. The Bible says, how are they going to hear without a preacher? How will the unlearned learn without a teacher? Man, that's us, church. We're the preacher. We're the lips of this book. We need to get out and tell people about it. Today, we're going to talk about something, and this whole thing that I'm talking about starts right in our homes. How are our children going to hear without a preacher? How are they going to learn without a teacher? How are our unsaved spouses or our unsaved family members, how are they going to hear the gospel unless we preach it? It starts in our homes. Oftentimes, I think that we get it mixed up, and we think that the world first, and then we back up. Or we think the church first, and then we back up. Well, then we'll worry about our kids later. We'll worry about our unsaved family members later. Our homes are the proving grounds of what kind of character that we have. Our homes are our sanctuaries. We know that. It's our safe place. It's where we feel safe and secure. It's where we should feel safe and secure. Our homes are where we are to grow and learn as we preach and teach to those that are under our roofs. Today's text speaks about this. Paul tells Timothy that first and foremost, one must have godly character in their homes. One must display this at home before God allowing us opportunities outside the walls of our home. It starts with what happens inside the privacy of the walls of our home. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 4 and 5 is where we're going to be today, and let's read that together. It says, "One that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God?" Let's pray. Father God, we pray today that we would be like sponges to soak up your word, that our hearts would be soft, easily penetrated by the power of your word, and that our lives would be changed because of it. Let us do a self-examination today. Let us think about what's going on in our lives that maybe the outside world doesn't see. But we know you see it, Lord. So bring conviction. Give us a desire to change. Give us a desire to glorify you with our lives. Speak through me today as we talk about your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so we remember that Paul is speaking about those that desire the office of a bishop, right? We're never going to forget that. That's what the context of this passage is. These are qualifications for being a pastor. That's what we're seeing. But like I have said many times, that we should all desire to have these character qualities in our lives. Verse 4 starts out by saying, "One that ruleth well his own house." The word rule there, ruleth there, doesn't necessarily mean what a lot of us think it means. You know, we think of rule, we think of ruling with an iron fist, like my way or the highway. What I say is what goes. That, you know, we think of it like that a lot of times because that's how a lot of people rule. That's how a lot of people ruleth, right? They demand and they just say this is how it is no matter what. And you know what? I struggle with that sometimes as well. I get all bulled up and full of pride, and I'm like, no, we're having pizza for dinner, and we're not having this garbage diet food, right? And I put my foot down. That's not ruling well, because then it causes a stumbling block in those in my family's life that want to be healthy, myself not included. And that's a lighthearted example. But you know what? Sometimes we do rule not well. Sometimes we cause division, and even in our own homes, because we're full of pride. This does not mean that you're a dictator, but a shepherd, one that guides and leads with love, honor, and respect. What we need to realize is that the home is like I said, like a proving ground for Christian character. If we're all honest, myself included, we may not always act the same at home as we do around other people. We may act differently because, you know what, sometimes we think that, you know what, it's okay because no one else is around. But what we need to realize and what God is teaching me and taught me over the years is that, you know what, inside the home is where you have the most impact. Because God has entrusted us, if we have children or if we have husbands or wives, to, man, we need to love one another. We need to do that in our homes. What God desires is for us to be real all the time and to display godly character at all times. Not just some of the times, not just when people are around, not just on Sundays when we come together and assemble ourselves together, but all the time, at our jobs, at our homes, wherever we're at, we're representing Christ. Our lives represent Jesus. So if we're partaking or acting like a fool, we're making Jesus look like a fool. We need to remember that. Our spouses and our children are our first ministry. Then the other people that God places in our lives come after that. So ask yourself this question this morning, church. What kind of character do I have at home that I do not show outside of the home? What kind of character do I have at home that I don't display to my brothers and sisters, that I don't display to those that don't live with me. Maybe some of us are like, man, I have great character. Maybe some of us are like, man, I have a lot of work to do. The point here today is that we need to fix it. We need to allow God to change us, allow God to give us godly character, allow God to instill that into our hearts so that we can operate like that all the time. So that we're not a hypocrite, right? That's what it is, a hypocrite. We're all, man, we always are so worried about the world thinking that Christians are a hypocrite. What about our children? What about our wives? What about our husbands? We don't care that they think we're hypocrites. We're like, just be quiet. This is inside the home. It doesn't matter. And it does. It's huge. It has a huge impact. As a parent, we get 17 to 18 years to invest in our children's lives sometimes. Sometimes they stay till they're 40, but not in my house. So we get 17 to 18 years to invest in our children's lives, and that goes by so fast. And I can testify to this because we have two grown and gone, two married off. And it happens so fast. And what I would do to rewind that and to be able to change things that happened in our, because both of my older boys were a little older when I came to know the Lord, and I did a lot of bad sowing in their life before I met Jesus. But praise the Lord, He gave us time and grace after we came to know the Lord to invest truth into both of those boys' lives. But those 17 to 18 years happen so fast that it's like, boom, they're married. Boom, they're having kids. Boom, it's like, what in the world is going on? I can remember as a child, my parents saying, the older you get, the faster time goes. And I thought they were crazy because years took years. And it's like, oh my goodness. Would school hurry up and get out so we can have summer, right? And now I'm about to turn 40 years old and I'm like, what has happened for the past 25 years? What happened? It's gone. It's so gone. I don't even remember. Weeks go by like minutes. Years go by like weeks. That we have a short time, parents. I'm talking to you today, right now. We have a short time to invest in those that God has entrusted us with to invest in. What we teach and display in those short years that God gives us will impact the decisions they make in the coming years, whether we think it does or not. Whether we think it does or not. What we invest in them, and even if we don't see change, even if we don't see results, right? Because we were all kids one time as well, and we like to be ornery. And even if we're just pouring truth into their lives and nothing is happening, we know what the Word of God does. It does not return void. Keep instilling the truth. Keep instilling because it will impact their future. We know that we can't save our children and we can't make them believe in Jesus Christ, but what we can do is lead them. We can lead them well and we can instill truth while we are still allowed. We can give them a chance. The problem is, as parents, all too often, and I'm guilty of this as well, because I say I like to work, but I don't really like to work. But I do like to work. And all too often, I can get caught up. Shorty works with me full time now. And I can get caught up in work and instilling work ethics into his life and instilling how to be a hard worker and how to do things correctly and forget and forsake investing this into his life. But I'm teaching him life lessons that he's going to need, right? We can justify it all day long. What he needs is the truth. He needs his dad to teach and live out the Word of God into his life. Your children need that. Well, we can invest all the other stuff. You know what? Even after they're grown. Oh, you don't know how to change a tire? Call me. I'll come change a tire and I'll teach you on the side of the highway. Because I was too busy investing the Word in your life to teach you that. We come up with all kinds of excuses so that we don't do this, but we do everything else. Shorty's becoming a great carpenter. But that doesn't mean anything. That's going to burn up. He's going to shoot himself in the nail gun again. Who knows what's going to happen? If he doesn't know the book, if he doesn't, I didn't ask him if I could. I don't have to ask permission. Shorty's my child, so I can use him as an example. But if I don't invest the word into his life or Delaney's life, I failed as a parent. Remember that, parents. Some of you are like, man, my kids are grown and gone. I did mine. Praise the Lord. You know what? God will place other people, other children in your life. Children's ministry, whenever we get to start rolling that again, you are impacting the lives of our next generation, right? Our youth group, we're impacting the lives of the next generation. Discipleship, we're impacting the lives of our next generation because we're focused on what truly matters, the Word of God. I've lost my place. I love it when that happens. Okay, so parents, teach your children the Word of God. Set aside the things of the world, forsake worldly wisdom, and get focused on what truly matters. Open the Word with them. Show them how to have godly character in an ungodly world. I've seen men that have forsaken their own homes in order to invest in others, and that's not a good balance to have. That's not a balance you want to find in your life. Well, you know what? The church is flourishing. My ministry is flourishing. Where are your children? Oh, they're off in the world. The text today says, one that ruleth his own house well. One that is a good manager. One that is able to train and teach. We like to watch that show, Undercover Boss. Has anybody ever watched that? Some of the episodes are not really appropriate, so we turn those off. But last night we were watching Undercover Boss, and I was thinking about this because it was one. This will connect. It was one for this buffets like Ryan's and Country Buffet and all that, right? So this guy goes into one of the restaurants and. What he does is he goes undercover, and one of the episodes last night, he was a dishwasher. He wanted to see how things were operating. And this kid that was a dishwasher gave him like a 30-second rundown. You need to take these, and you need to run them through that, and good luck. That's pretty much what he said. And you know why that kid did that? Because he wasn't trained. Because his manager did not train him well. So what the dishwasher do? He didn't train the next guy well. And it's just a vicious cycle. And man, the Bible says to rule your own house well, to be a manager, to train and teach and instill truth. Why? Because we want fruit and we want our children to have fruit and we want everyone that we impact to have fruit. And they need to know how. That's why discipleship is so key. That is why being a disciple of Christ, a lifestyle of learning and growing until the day that we meet Jesus, and having people invest that into us, and then in return, investing it into other people, it's a continuous cycle. And if we could just get it, if we could just understand it, and we could just get a hold of that, it would change this town. I promise you. Churches would be like, man, I don't know what's going on at New Life, but they're growing, they're multiplying, and people are flocking because they are learning the Word of God. And it's not just on Sunday mornings. It's on Tuesday mornings at the coffee shop. It's on Saturday nights. It's on Friday nights. It's happening all the time. They're so serious about God's Word, and they're growing. And we don't do that to promote New Life Baptist Church. We do that to promote Jesus and to promote a stronger relationship with Him. That's what it's all about. Discipleship's not a program. It's never been a program. It will never be a program. It's a lifestyle that we should all desire to grow closer to Christ. I've seen so many people's lives and families change because of it. Mine included. I'm guessing there's some men in this room today that need to step up to the plate and get to leading. I'm guessing that there's some men in this room that are not the same at home, that they are acting like they are right now, even today. And I would warn you that it's not a good place to be. It's not a good place to be at all. The world already thinks that Christians are hypocrites. And like I said, why would we want our wives and children to think that same thing? Because it's not a game. It's not a couple of hour a week thing. It's a lifestyle. And some of us need a lifestyle change today. And praise the Lord that it's not too late. He's given us an opportunity to repent right now. To forsake, confess and forsake our faults, right? To do that right at this moment because we don't know what another moment will bring. He's bringing this to light out of this passage so that we can get right and so that we can start really getting serious. Paul says, having their children in subjection with all gravity as we move on. There are many homes today that are led by their children and not the parents. And I'm not saying that that's how any of us are here, but it could be. We've discipled some families that I'm like, whoo. Go to Proverbs because it talks about what will drive that far from them, right? Sometimes the parents are like so in subjection to the children and just worried about offending them and worried about being their best friend and worried about, you know what, we can't discipline because they'll just run away. That's being a terrible manager. That's not ruling your house well. That's not instilling truth. Children tell their parents what they will and what they will not do. The role in today's society has changed so much. The role of the roles are not as God intended them to be. And why is this? Because parents are afraid. Afraid of losing their children. And as parents, we can be blinded by this. All the while, we're losing our children to the things of this world. In my family, when we became new creatures in Christ, in 2008, come to know Christ, myself and my wife, we had to make some hard decisions. And we had to make some hard decisions that we knew our children were not going to like. There was things of the world that were still in our life that were like, this is not glorifying God, and this is keeping us from growing closer to Him. And we're going to have to make some hard decisions so that we can train up our children in the way they should go. We love sport. We still love sports and outdoors just as much as we did. But we loved sports and outdoors, I think, more than we loved Christ when we first come to know Him. And we would sacrifice, right? Well, you know what? As long as we go to church once in a while, we can go camping every other weekend or every third weekend or something. We would justify it because we had a camper and we loved to camp. One day I said, God, I think we need to sell the camper. And He said, I hope you're serious. And He sold it immediately. And that was a hard decision as a father because, man, we had great memories with our children camping and just enjoying the outdoors and sports. Weekends, sports soak up our weekends so fast with our children that we don't even know what happened, right? Ball tournaments, everything that has to happen. They have to do it, you know what, it has to happen on Sunday. It makes me so mad. So we had to make a hard decision as a family. We're not going to do that. And I'm not saying that that's what you need to do, but we as a family had to do that. And it was just God preparing us for where He was taking us, right? Because even though at the time I didn't desire the office of a bishop, as we're talking about here, I didn't desire to be a pastor, He was preparing far beyond what I could think, far beyond what I could imagine, and far beyond what I desired. He was just preparing all of that well before, so it wasn't quite as painful as it all rolled out. We had to give up Sunday sports, weekend camping trips so that we could follow Jesus with our whole life. There was a purge that had to take place. You know, Proverbs 16:6 says this. It says, by mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. And by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. And I'm not saying everything that we were doing was evil. And I'm not saying that everything we were doing was sinful. But we were stealing time away from the Lord. And as a father, I wasn't ruling my house well. I wasn't investing in what really truly needed to be invested. It was painful. We miss it. Yes, sometimes we do. But we have grown so much because of it. God replaced the things with the world with a stronger relationship with Him and with a stronger relationship with y'all. And man, I would not trade it back for anything. It's allowed room for fruit to grow. God pruned the tree. Like it talks about in John 15. We have this tree in our front yard. It's God awful ugly. We have one tree. But I'm like, we only have one tree, so I can't cut it down. And every once in a while, I'll prune it. And what happens when I prune it? It goes crazy. And it begins to grow and become even uglier. But it's putting off a little bit of shade, so we're utilizing that. Sometimes God needs to prune some things out of our life so that we can grow, so that we can bear fruit. This ugly tree produces some kind of, I don't know what it is, but somebody said you can make jelly out of it, so you can come get it, because I don't trust it. But the more we prune it, the more those berries grow. I'll tell you that. Parents, don't allow your children to rule your home. Lead with love. Explain why things are changing. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 20, it says this. Colossians 3:20. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. And then in Ephesians chapter 6, it says this. Ephesians 6:1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment, with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou may livest long on the earth. Children are commanded to obey their parents. Parents are commanded to train up the children in the way they should go. And here's the kicker in verse 5 of our text, 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 5. For if a man knoweth not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? Paul lays out what a man of God ought to be doing and how. Now he tells us why. Like I said before, the home is a proving ground. Ministry is not a proving ground. Home is a proving ground. Being busy for Jesus in church is not a place to be proven. Right there inside the walls of your home is where things need to be proven out. Men, I want you to listen, because we're given a great responsibility to lead your home. And maybe you're leading a lot of things in your life other than your home. And this must stop. You first must lead those under your roof. Even if you do not have the desire of the office of a bishop, this does not exclude you from this. You were created to lead, men. Quit being lazy, because we're lazy sometimes. That's what it all boils down to. We say that we don't know how to lead. Ask for help. I don't know how to rule my own house well. Man, there's lots of men that could teach you and show you how to do that. Ask for counsel. Don't be okay with being a follower. Desire to do what God created you to do. Take the stress off of your wife and become a man. In Psalm 119:9, it says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to thy word. Right here. Men, we need to man up, get in the book, learn our role, begin to understand how we ought to lead our homes, begin to understand how we ought to rule well, begin to understand the importance that God has placed upon us so that our homes can be changed because of that. It's going to be painful, and it's going to seem as if you're fighting an uphill battle that you cannot win. But remember what I shared at the beginning of last week at Church in the Park. And God just keeps showing me this over and over and over in the Bible about being in a valley. Right? Being in a valley. We want to be on that mountaintop experience because nothing can affect us. But God places us in a valley so that we can grow. He puts us in a valley so that we can look at that mountaintop and say, man, I desire to be there, but I know I got some growing to do. I need to be right here by the well. I need to be tapped into the water of the Word so that, man, so I can grow and so that I can, man, one day I can go to that mountaintop and I can experience that. But you know what happens? As we climb a mountain, the other side goes back down into another valley. And a valley is not a terrible place to be. We look at it like it is, but it's not. We all have room to grow, and we need to be in the valley to do that. That's where life happens. It's where growth happens. Even if you think your home is on a mountaintop because things flow so perfectly, if you're not leading, man, you need to get in the valley and start growing. Ask God to guide you. Ask God to show you, because He's the great physician and He can fix you. He's the only one that can fix you. We just have to be willing to allow Him to do so. Wives and children, listen. Submit to your husbands and your father. Honor him, respect him, allow him to lead you. Allow him to teach you. He is not perfect and has many flaws. And on Friday night, we were going through the book of Genesis chapter 27. And we seen, man, Rebecca made a really bad mistake. She We're like, what are you thinking? When she tricks Isaac by using Jacob to pretend like he's Esau. And man, she deceives her own husband. And Jacob is sucked into this trap. And it's not necessarily Jacob's fault, because you know what? He's just doing what his mama told him to do. But man, the problem is Isaac was deceived because he couldn't see. And they went to extreme measures to trick Isaac so that Jacob could steal Esau's blessing. Rebekah wasn't honoring him. We're pressing towards the mark of the prize of the high calling in 2020. And man, what a mess we are pressing through in 2020, right? We had this great vision for 2020 of all these things that we had planned out, and then all of this madness happened. You know what? It was God saying, just keep pressing on. Just keep pressing towards the mark. Just keep pressing on, like it says in Philippians chapter 3, verse 13 and 14. That's our theme for the year, is to press towards the mark of the prize of the high calling. And man, right now we're in a pit, we're in a valley. We're growing though, and we're going to keep pressing on. Paul says, hey, I forgot about all those things which are behind me, because I can't press forward if I'm worried about what's behind me. And a lot of us in this room today need to do that. We need to forget about yesterday. We need to look to tomorrow. We need to press towards Christ with our whole life and just keep pressing on. The question we're faced with is, how are we going to grow while we're here in this valley? We need to dig a well. We need to tap into the water. We need to learn how to do our own role with excellence. Focus on doing that first. Well, my husband's just a knothead. Are you doing your job well? Well, my wife, if you knew her, are you doing your job well? My parents, oh my gosh, they're crazy lunatics. Are you honoring your father and your mother? If we would focus on our own role with excellence, with everything that we have, and quit worrying about blaming it on everyone else. Watch how things change. Watch how roles change. Watch how things function better. Watch how the home becomes more of a sanctuary. Then you can worry about the church, because we're all a mess, right? And then we all assemble together and we're just a great big mess. But that's okay. Oftentimes we get consumed by ministry and forsake what our first ministry is. Don't ever do that. I've seen so many people get swallowed up in ministry, and they're a yes person. Hey, will you lead this? Yes. Will you lead this? Yes. Will you lead this? And before you know it, they're like, man, I hate church, because all I do is go and serve and I don't get anything. It's okay to say no. It's okay to learn and grow and be slow. God will place you in the role that He desires you to be. Don't be consumed by ministry so much. Paul says that how can one take care of the church of God if you're not taking care of your own home? And the answer is that you just simply can't. You cannot take care of the church if you first don't take care of the home. This is talking to those that desire the office of a bishop. Ministry 101, it starts in your home. It's where we're trained. It's where we're proven. It's where we're tested. Learn how to do this first. God will teach you and He will grow you, and He'll place men and women in your lives to show you and guide you along. Again, it's called discipleship. A disciple is defined as a learner. The question that we're faced with is, are we willing to learn? Well, I know all kinds of stuff, but are you really willing to learn? You're going to be taught the word through discipleship. You're going to spend maybe a year having someone invest the word of God into you. They're also going to invest life into you as well. It's not just getting together. It's not just going through these booklets. It's about, man, instilling life, instilling the soul, just loving on each other, all the while learning the word of God together. For some of us, the balance is way over on the wrong side today. We're so focused on our careers and school that we're not focused on our relationship with God at all. We need to quit being a Sunday Christian. We need to quit that. It's a lifestyle. It's our new life. Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, right? Holy, acceptable unto God, which is, I got to look at it because I totally just messed it up. Which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We have to have our mind renewed every day. That you may prove that which is good and acceptable in the perfect will of God. We have to have, that has to happen. It's our reasonable service. James 1:22 talks about being a doer of the word and not just a hearer of the word. We need to put it into action. We need to learn it. We need to renew our mind, and then we need to put it into action. That's what has to happen. And this all happens because of 2 Corinthians 5:17. It says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, behold, all things have become new. You're a new creature today. Act like it. Be what God created you to be and execute with excellence, because you can do this. God will give you above what you ask or think. He's a good God and He wants you to succeed. You're victorious already if you're a child of God. Start there. Grow slow in the valley. First, surrender to Christ. Become a child of God. Grow slow in the valley. Quit looking to be on the mountaintops all the time and focus on what matters now. And if you need help with that, don't be so prideful that you don't ask. We're here for each other. This is not a one-man pony show. We are here to invest in each other. We're here to bear fruit and fruit that remains and to glorify God with our lives. I know this is about ruling our own house, but man, you need to start in your home. Start with your children. Start investing in your wives, husbands, wives. Start investing in everything that you possibly can. You need to invest in your husband. You know how you best can do that? By praying for him. You can. Invest in your husband the best. Not by nagging on him. Because man, you know men really like to be nagged on. And so do women. It goes both ways. But the best way you can minister to your husband is by praying for him. Let's pray together. Father God.